Hi, I'm Andrew Connell, and
in this module, we're going to talk about one of two different endpoints in the Azure Billing API, resource usage. After first going through an overview of the Azure Billing API, we're then going to look at the details of the resource usage API, one of two different endpoints in the billing API, and what this module's on. Then we're going to talk about time in the resource usage API, as there's two different times, reported usage and usage. You need to understand what those two different things are. Then we're going to look at some enabling scenarios that this API will allow you to do with the different endpoints and what things you can build in your application. And then we're going to look at the details around making a request for the Azure Resource Usage REST API, and then we'll look at the details around the response that comes back from this endpoint. Let's first talk about an overview on the Azure Billing API. The Azure Billing API was introduced in preview in June 2015. As of the time of this recording, June 2016, it's still in preview. This API consists of two different components or endpoints: rate card API, which is something we saw in the previous module, and the resource usage API, which is what this module's about. Now, it's mostly in preview because the resource usage API, the one we're talking about in this module, has two different styles of responses that come back. And this addresses the difference between the ASM and the ARM models that we have in Azure. As you may be aware, we've covered in the ARM module in this course, Azure is in the midst of migrating everything from the old ASM style of management over to the ARM style of management, which gives us a lot more data and a lot more control over our stuff. What you'll see is that some data that comes back is defined as V1. We have these things called info fields, and they're really named value pairs that have a limited amount of information in them. Microsoft is transitioning over to a new style called instance data, which is going to be for ARM. We refer to that as V2. So you'll see two different styles of data coming back with each of the different resource records. And over time throughout the preview, Microsoft is going to eventually get everything over to V2. That's the primary reason we're in preview. Now keep in mind that billing data can change at any time and without notice. This doesn't really affect the resource usage API. Instead, it affects more of the rate card API, but you do need to be aware of this. Any changes that are going to be reflected in the new billing model are generally announced and notifications are sent out prior to the change by Microsoft. Now, when you're referring to stuff inside of these different APIs, you want to use their IDs, for example, the meter or for the resource usage event. You want to use their IDs to identify these different things and not the names. The primary reason for this is that names can change and they do change as well. Now let's talk about the resource usage API. Azure Billing has two different endpoints. As I said, we have rate card and we have resource usage. The resource usage API is going to allow us to get detailed usage and consumption details for an Azure subscription. In order to query this endpoint, you have to have a valid Azure subscription, and it's only available for authenticated requests. It's also only available as a REST API. There is no managed wrapper around it at the time of this recording. Now, how do we actually call this? Well, you have to be authenticated and you have to be authorized to call this endpoint. Everybody can do it, but there are a few requirements around it. You must first build a custom application. You're going to do that with your own code. But once you've done that, you're then going to have to register the application in Azure AD. Now, the order actually doesn't matter. I didn't mean to imply that. The application in Azure AD must be granted the permission, otherwise known as a scope, of Access Azure Service Management as Organization. You'll find that on the role of Windows Azure Service Manager. The custom app, which is also referred to as a service principal, or the user, must be granted access to the Azure subscription in order to use the application. The way you're going to do that is by adding the application to one of the three different roles that we have in Azure. We refer to these as the RBAC roles, or the role-based access control. The user using the app must have access to the Azure subscription as well. And all requests to the Azure REST APIs must be authenticated by including a valid OAuth2 bearer token in the header. We went through a lot of the details with this in the rate card API, so I would recommend you listen to that module and refer to that one for all the different details around obtaining a token. Now, just like all API requests against the Azure Management APIs, all requests are rate limited and they are subject to being throttled. Now, the billing APIs For example, the one we're using here, the resource usage, are part of the Azure Resource Manager API. The default and the maximum API HTTP GET requests that we can call are 15,000 requests per hour. Now, the good thing is that every request does include a header of the x-ms-rate-limit-remaining-subscription-reads. It does contain a number of all the different things that we have that are left in the quota. So that number will always come back as a number equal to or less than 15,000. You just need to make sure that you factor that into your code and you take it into account if you're starting to run out of requests. Now, before I go further, we need to understand time in the Azure Billing Resource API. All times in Azure are stored as UTC in the Universal Time Format. This is also referred to as the ISO 8601 standard. There's two different types of time in Azure usage records. There's the reported time and the usage time. The reported time is a timestamp when the actual usage event was recorded in the billing system. And the usage time is the timestamp of the actual consumption of the resource. These two times rarely are going to match. So why do we have a difference between the reported and the usage event, different times? Well, at the time of this recording, Azure has 19 different data centers around the world where customers can run their workloads. And because of this distributed nature, there's a difference between the usage date time and the reported date time for a particular usage event. Now, although Azure service providers will move to reporting usage events at the earliest convenience, that is not the case today. And there can be multiple hours of delay between the actual usage and the reported time for a particular usage event. The reported time is used in billing to determine if the event made it into the billing cycle. Now, the REST API for reported usage only allows for querying by the reported time. Usage time is only used for auditing. It is not used for billing. So why don't you query by the usage date? Well, as there can be a delay when the usage event makes it to the commerce system and hence available through the Azure Usage API, querying by a usage date can provide incomplete information to the different callers. For instance, if a caller queried for usage date of April the 2nd and they made that call on April the 3rd for a specific resource, the caller would probably only get, let's say, X units back, where X is the sum of the usage quantities that were reported by April the 3rd. But if I made the same query on April the 10th, there's a chance that there could be a different number that comes back. If callers took that as deterministic and didn't check for late usage for a usage date on 4/2 or on April the 2nd, you'd have incomplete information. So you need to keep this in mind, that you want to make sure that you are querying based on reported date for all the different data. This is why querying by reported date is deterministic, in that the callers can query every hour and deterministically get all the usage events that have been recorded in the billing system in the previous hour, and then keep shifting the reported date time parameters forward. The response of the usage events is always aggregated by usage date time. So even though you query by reported date time, you can get a very good idea of when the particular resources were actually consumed. So this may raise a question of, you know, how do we deal with this as far as billing goes? Well, let's look at a scenario here. Assume that billing period is from May the 1st through May the 31st, so the whole month of May. The May invoice is going to include all the usage events that are reported between May the 1st at midnight and May the 31st, a shade before the end of that day, so a second before June the 1st. Some of the billing data, though, may be discarded for the May bill, even if the usage event was on May the 31st, but it wasn't received by the billing system until June the 1st or maybe even June the 2nd. This data, it will then be included in the June invoice. So even though I actually use the resource on May 31st, it won't be billed for me until June. So now you're maybe wondering, how should I actually query the resource usage API? Well, you got to look at your scenario. If you are writing an application that queries either hourly or daily, then you should query by the reported date time and store the data locally according to the usage date time. You need to treat this data as volatile, as this data can change with late or incoming usage. If you query, though, at the end of the billing cycle, You query by the reported date time, since the usage is aggregated by usage date time. And since the usage is aggregated by usage date time, and discard the usage aggregations that don't fall in the billing cycle that you're concerned with. Now let's talk about some of the different scenarios that this is going to enable for us, this API enables for us. This is going to allow you to track usage and perform usage trend analysis on your different Azure consumption. It's going to allow you to calculate estimate and anticipated bills for customers. It's going to allow you to perform maybe say spending analysis. And it's going to also allow you to perform what if scenarios. It's going to allow you to say things like, what if we moved our resources around from East US to West Europe? Because we know how much we're using and we can use that information in conjunction with the rate card information to find out how much it would cost us to move it, but we can see how much we have to see how much we should charge or how much we're going to be charged. We can also say, what if we changed from hot to cold storage? Or if we changed the size of our virtual machine instances? Or what if we change the Azure subscription that we're using? You have all of these different options of things that you can take a look at. Now in this module, I have a reference application that's a little explorer into our usage data. Let's take a second to look at this application to see how we can view and present the data that's going to come back from the Resource Usage API. Okay, so the first step here is to get our application configured. So here I have the source code for the application all loaded. But the challenge that we have here is that I need to go configure this so it'll work. And as you see here, that it's got a little bit of information in the web config that's not filled in. This is specifically not filled in to protect you, so not sharing your credentials to your application. So I want to show you the full story of how to get this application up and running. What you're going to do is you're going to need to navigate over to your Azure Management Portal. So here I'm in my Azure Management Portal, and I'm in my Azure subscription. And I'm in the section where I've picked Active Directory, and then I've picked the Applications tab in the Active Directory and filtered it to show me all the applications that I own. So what I want to do is create a new application. So I'm going to pick Add, and I'm going to say I'm going to pick and add an application my organization is developing. So I'm going to go ahead and give my application a name. I'll just call it the Azure Billing Explorer. And then it's going to ask me for my sign-on URL. Well, let's go grab that from our project in Visual Studio. So I'm going to pick the project name. I'm going to go over here to Properties and grab the SSL endpoint and copy that. And then come back over to my project or my application in Visual Studio in the Azure Management Portal and drop it in. Now I need to give it a unique ID. So I'm going to use the domain of one of my Azure subscriptions and just add on something unique on the end of it. And that's a good thing. So we'll go ahead and just hit the check mark and let it go ahead and create this. All right, now that it's created, we need to go grab a little bit of information here. So first, I'm going to come over here and say view endpoints. The first thing I need is the domain and the ID of my Azure AD tenant. So I'm going to go ahead and pick view endpoints. I'm just going to copy one of these values out. And then I'm going to come back over here in here to Visual Studio. Now, let's switch this over into full screen mode. I'm going to drop that into the tenant ID. When I paste that in, now when I paste this in, I want to go back, get rid of everything except for the GUID, because the GUID is the actual ID of my Azure AD tenant. So let's go ahead and select all these values, and I'll go ahead and get rid of all of them. So there's my ID of my Azure AD tenant. I'm also going to go and paste in the domain. This is just one of the registered domains on that Azure AD tenant. Now let's pass in the client ID and secret. So we got to go back over to our browser, and I'm going to scroll down to find the ID of my application that was created. So here's my client ID. So I'm going to go ahead and click on this little icon over here, and then come back over to Visual Studio and paste that in for the client ID. The last thing I need is the client secret. So let's jump back over to our Azure portal, and I'm going to create a new key, set it for any random duration, 1 or 2 years, it doesn't matter, and then I'm going to click Save. Now what this is going to do is it's going to create a new key and it's going to show me the key after it creates it. I need to make sure that I copy this out and I paste it somewhere, because once I've seen this, the next time that page loads in the Azure Management Portal, it will not show me my key again. So now the application is configured, but I need to go in Visual Studio it is. But I need to go grant this application access to have certain permissions that my application is going to need. So I'm going to scroll down a little bit farther, and I'm going to find the section for permissions to other applications. I need to add an application, and I need to find the Azure Service Management application. So I'll pick that, and I hit a check mark, and I need to give it the permission of access Azure Service Management as an organization. Once I do that and click Save, now when I log into the application, when I log into my ASP.NET application, it's going to go to Azure AD and request an access token that's intended for the Azure Service Management REST API. Because I've given the application access to that API and because I have permission to it, it will give me a token. If I don't do that, then if I didn't create this permission here, I would get an error saying that this application doesn't have rights to do that. Now, just because I've gone through and created an application in code, it's all been configured to work with an application I created here in Azure AD, the last step is I need to give the Azure AD application the permissions to be able to access one of my Azure subscriptions. So what I have over here is I've gone to the other Azure portal, the more Blade version of the portal. This is the current production one. And I have to grant it permissions to this application, or I grant the application permissions to this Azure subscription. I couldn't do this in the old portal because the old portal doesn't support the role-based access control. I couldn't have created the application in the new portal because the new portal at the time of this recording didn't support Azure AD. So I'm going to come over here and click on this little, these two little icons here to bring up the users pane. And then I'm going to click add to add a new role, to add a new user. Now the role that this user is going to have is just a reader because our application is simply going to read. And then I'm going to pick for from the different users. We called our application something with the word Azure in it. There it is, the Azure Billing API Explorer. When I click select here and then click OK, it'll now give us our application right here to where now the application has access to this Azure subscription. So now I should be able to go to Visual Studio. Let's get out of full screen. Hit F5 to go ahead and start building the application. And then we just wait for a second to go ahead and let it load the very first time. And here we go, we're already logged in because we were logged in to our Azure Management portal using our Azure AD account to go do all the management and creation of the application and manage the permissions. Now what I can do here is I can look at rates and I can look at usage. So first thing we're gonna do is we have to pick a subscription. So I'm gonna go over here and click on the View Subscriptions. What this page did is it reached out to the Azure Management portal's REST API interface and it asked for a list of all the subscriptions. Because this application only has access to the one subscription we granted it access to, that's the only one that's going to show up here. So I'm only going to see one thing listed. If I had added it to other subscriptions, they would show up here as well. I didn't ask it for a specific subscription. I just said, give me access to everything that I have, that you know about. And so it gave me access to everything that I have permissions to. Now, if I click on the View Usage button over here, this is going to pull the usage data for the current month or the entire month here of data up to the present day of when this was recorded to show me a list of all the usage data. So you can see here, we can see the start date was set to June 1st, 2016. The end date is to June 10th. The report granularity, it's rolling everything up into daily. And then the show details is true. So we're not seeing server-side aggregation. So here we can see that we have the free app service. This is for June the 7th through June the 8th. This is from the Azure app service. The actual meter is free app service. We can see we have consumed this much quantity. And if I scroll down a little bit, you can see that, you know, East US, there's the actual region ID, some details about it. You can also see some additional details like the service plan that this is on. And we can even come down a bit farther and we can see the different the tag information as well. All right. You can just see a bunch of different values here. Here's another tag that we have here for something hidden, right? We go a little bit farther down and see additional information. You see all the different resource information here. You can change the filter to be something else. Like let's say if I switch it over to hourly and let's see the aggregation or the data that comes back. Here we can see the data is gone. Instead of it being just for a full day, we can see it's from June 7th at 1300. To 1400, and I can see how much we use there. If I go down a little bit farther, we should see from 1400 to 1500. So you can see how we can change the amount of data that's coming back. So that's just an overview of what this application does. Now, the first part of working with the Resource Usage API is understanding what a request looks like. So let's take a look at a request. Before we do that though, Why don't we go ahead and look at the code and see what the actual Fiddler request is going to show us for the raw request that we're making over to the Azure Resource API, and then we'll pick apart the details in just a moment. Let's take a look at an overview of what the request looks like for the Resource Usage API. So I'm here on my page with getting a list of all my subscriptions, and we see we have one subscription listed. I'm going to pick the View Usage button here. What this is going to do is issue a request for all the resource information for this current subscription. So here we can see my subscription comes back. I have some information about the details of the report. It's getting truncated a bit here, but it's just demo code. Here we can see the report name that comes back, and I can see the report type that's coming back as well. For the query filters that we've used, now if we don't pass any in, then we default to some values. And the default that we use is taking the current day we're in and just grabbing the current month of data up to the current day. So here I'm looking at the reported start time is set to June the 1st. The reported end date is the 10th of June. The granularity is daily, and the show details is checked off here. So I do want to see all the details. And as you can see here, I'm getting a bunch of data back. Okay, I can switch this over back over to hourly and say show details, and we'll get detailed hour information. So you can see here it's now going from 13 to 14 o'clock on June the 7th for this particular one that comes back, and then from 14 to 15. Okay, so let's take a look at what this request looks like now that I've made a change here to the filter. So I'm going to come over here and over in Fiddler, and I'm first going to show you that just like the rate card API, we're making a request for all the subscriptions that are available to us. And so here, the way I did this is I had first authenticated up here in this session by getting a OAuth access token, bearer token from Azure AD. I'll open this up. You can see I'm using this endpoint as the token where I want to get the token, where I want to get the token from login.microsoftonline.com, specifically the Azure AD token endpoint. And then I'm saying, give me a token for this resource using this application credentials, and I'm logging in using the client credentials OAuth flow. And down here at the bottom, we can see that I'm actually getting a access token right here. I'm going to use that access token to go get a list of all my subscriptions. And we can see we have a single subscription that came back called Azure Trial. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to make a request for all of our usage information. So you can see here our ASP.NET site has a route set up for subscriptions slash, and then there's the ID of the subscription slash usage. And then a little bit farther down, I got another token for this. I didn't need to. I could have used the first token that I obtained up here actually to do the exact same request. But the code is written really simply just to always get a token before it goes and makes a request to the endpoint. So I could be saving the round trip right here to go get another token, but it's just demo code. We're focusing on the Azure API and not so much the authentication piece. So here we're getting a list of all of our information. So I'm gonna come over here and look at the raw request at the top. We see that I'm making an HTTP GET to the usage endpoint. I'm doing that by going to the management.azure.com endpoint and then slash subscriptions slash, there's a GUID there. It gets a little bit easier if I open up the headers here because I can open this piece up. Here I'm getting a list of all the information for this subscription. I'm looking specifically for the provider Microsoft Commerce, which is the billing API, and I'm using his endpoint called usage aggregates. Now the rest of the stuff in the query string is a little bit easier to see if I look over at the web forms view. While we're here though, you can tell, just notice that I have an authorization endpoint set up with my access token. So come over here to the web forms and you can see I've got it set up for my API version is equal to 2015 June 1st. My reported start time and end time is sent as a UTC time. So you can see it's 2016 June the 1st to June the 10th of 2016. And my aggregation granularity is set to daily. Show details is set to true. We'll look at the response later in this module, but you see, remember where I made that change to getting getting hourly data. That's this last request here, and you'll see that I just changed this value right here from the aggregation granularity to hourly from daily. Okay, so now that you've seen an overview of this, let's jump back to the slides and let's take a look at what the, some of the details of the actual request. Now, similar to the other endpoint that we have in the billing API for Azure, the rate card one, the resource usage REST API has similar details or similar requirements. All requests must include two HTTP headers. One is the authorization header that's going to specify the OAuth2 bearer token to authenticate the request. And the other one is the content type that's going to specify the data that we're going to be submitting and getting back. You're going to also include a reference to the Azure subscription that you want to use for the query. The way you're going to control the response that comes back is with a couple different query string parameters. Now you have three required parameters and you have two optional parameters. The three required parameters are first, the API version. This is a common parameter for all Azure APIs. It controls the version of the API we're requesting. The other two are the reported start date or reported start time and reported end time range of data. So this is how you're going to be able to filter how much data comes back. You then have a couple optional parameters that have default values on them or are going to be ignored. So the optional parameters are things like aggregation granularity. Do we want to see the daily data, which is going to be all aggregated together from all the different resource things that have been returned? Daily is what's default. Or do you want to see all the details? So you want to see hourly data. The show details, which defaults to true, is going to allow the server to aggregate the data, or is it going to include instance level data? For example, if I've gone through and had if I have specific details around the actual instance that I'm using, say around multiple Azure websites for scale, do I want the server to aggregate that for me, or do I want to just get all the raw data myself? The continuation token is an optional string. Now, if you pass this across, what this does is that if you make a request, then there's a ton of data that comes back. Azure's not going to give you all of the data. Instead, it gives you a part of the data, and then it includes a continuation token in the response. You can make a second request with the continuation token on the query string, which effectively says, give me the next set or the next page of data for this response. And I can do that as many times as I need to get the response back. And that's going to help us avoid any timeouts for really large requests or responses that are coming back. So let's look at what the actual request looks like. I'm going to make an HTTP GET request to the endpoint management.azure.com. I'm going to make a secure request actually to management.azure.com. That's the endpoint for all Azure API requests. I'm going to specify the subscription by saying /subscriptions/subscription ID. And then I'm going to pass across the provider, which essentially routes me over to the billing API. So that's provider/Microsoft Commerce. The endpoint I'm looking for is usage aggregates. Now here are the three required parameters that I have to pass in. The version, which is always going to be 2015-06 for June-01-preview. Of course, this may change when the API goes to generally available. And then you're going to also pass across the reported start time and the end time as well. Now these have to be in the specific ISO format that I referred to earlier. And what these values are going to also be in UTC time. And then the header values I'm going to pass across are the authorization and the content type. So let's look at what an example request looks like. Here I'm going to be making a request for the reported start time starting on May the 1st, 2016 at midnight, going all the way to June the 1st at midnight in 2016. And that's going to give me all the data from May 2016. You see here that I don't want the detailed hourly data. So what I'm telling Azure to do is to do server-side aggregation and only show me daily data. Don't go through and show me all the details there. This is going to give me the smallest result set possible for May 2016. I could get a lot more data by changing the aggregation granularity to hourly and the show details to true. Now that we know what a request looks like, why don't we take a look at what the .NET code looks like for building up one of these requests and how we could do all the different filtering inside of our application. So if I come back over here, everything is happening through our usage controller. So let's start from scratch. Inside of my usage controller, I have a single method here for the index route that we're using. This authorize says that you have to be authenticated to do this. So here, I'm looking at my index route. Now for this, I'm expecting a subscription ID to definitely be passed in. So how is that happening? Well, if I go back and look at the route that's defined for this application, you'll see here that I have a single route that's been defined, or a special route that's been defined, called subscription details. And it's looking at the URL subscriptions slash, and then I'm passing in the ID of the subscription and a controller and an action. And I'm only defaulting to the index for my action. The rest of it has to be specified. Well, the URL, if you recall from Fiddler, was here's what one of the URLs looks like. It's going to subscription slash subscription ID slash usage. So that's how I'm actually getting this value to be passed in inside of my usage controller. The rest of these values here for filtering, they have some defaults they're set to. So reported start and end time are set to null for a nullable type. I'm defaulting to the daily aggregate, and I'm also saying I want to see all the details. Now here we're doing a check to see, make sure we got a subscription ID. If not, send them back. And then I'm going to go fix up some defaults here. So if I did not have a reported start or end that was specified for the filter, then I'm going to look at the current month, and I'm going to go grab the create a new date based on the first day of the month at midnight, and I'm going to go to the end of the current day at midnight. So that way we're getting all the data starting from the beginning of the month up until midnight of the previous day. Okay, so a little bit farther down here, I'm going to say get the usage. So that's where I'm going to actually make the request and pass in all those values. Now the rest of this down here, we're going to look at the rest of this in a little bit. So let's go through and let's look at what this get usage looks like. That's inside this thing called a usage repository. So I'm going to go jump to the definition on that one. So this one's looking for a subscription ID and basically all the same values that we just saw a moment ago. I'm first going to get an access token. Now this is a little helper method I've created, and all this does is it checks to see if I have an access token for this resource that's being passed in. And this is coming from a settings helper. And you can see the settings helper is just has a static method here, or static property that's being returned for the management REST API. Then I'm going to come over here and I'm going to say, let's create a new request. I am then going to say that I want the data to come back as application slash JSON. And then I'm also going to specify that I want the header, the authentication header equal to a bearer token using the access token we just got. Now, the next thing is I'm going to now create my request. So here I'm going to go to the subscriptions slash passing the subscription ID that you see there as the first parameter. I'm looking at the billing API and specifically the endpoint usage aggregates. And then I'm going to pass in a bunch of values here. So I've got things like the API version, I've got the reported start time, the reported end time, the aggregation granularity, and show details. And here I'm just passing in all those values. This format parameter that I'm passing in of S on the reported start and end times, that's using the same UTC format that Azure's expecting. And thankfully, the .NET framework has a format string that will generate that for us. So you don't have to worry about that. I'm then going to take the endpoint, the Azure Management endpoint, and I'm going to add on the query that we just created and create the request. As you see right here, it's just an HTTP GET, and then pass it off to the response. So that's how I'm building up the request. Okay. In the next section, we're going to talk about the response, and that's where we'll go through a little bit more stuff a little bit farther on. Now that we've seen what the request looks like, let's take a look and see what the response is going to look like. Before we do that, though, why don't we look at the code and see what the raw response is going to look like to get some context before we start to look at the actual detail fields and explain what the different fields are. And this lets you get your bearings for when you look at the different slides that are going to be coming up in a minute. Let's take a look at what the response looks like for a typical usage or resource usage API request. And then we'll dive into the slides to see, to pick apart the actual details of the response. Then we'll come back and we'll see how the code works to work with the response. So if you recall from the demo we ran earlier, I was looking at the request. we made a request for the first time, just a default request, which defaulted to the first few days of the current month, rolled up in daily aggregation and showing the details. So let's look at what the response is that comes back. So here, if I just get the raw response, I'm getting a 200. And as we talked about in the slides, everything is rate limited. And so we get a number here back of how many requests I have left. And then I have a bunch of different information here. So let's look at this in JSON view, make it a little bit easier to see. So we're going to collapse everything. Now, if I go ahead and open this up, you see I've got a list of values, a collection of all these different resource records. So if I look at the first one here, you can see we have some metadata. I've got the ID of this record, I've got a name for this record, the type of the record, and then a bunch of properties. And the real information is in the properties. So here we have our meter ID. Now this meter ID is going to match the meter ID in the rate card API, giving us all the pricing information about this item. Other things that we have here, like meter name, category, quantity, those things, and if we also had subcategory, those things are just duplicates coming from rate card. So that's stuff that's going to help you. It's going to save you from having to go to rate card, but you're probably going to use both of these things in conjunction. So this is just saving you from having to go get that information a second time. We have also the subscription that this usage information was based on. And then we have the quantity. So we have the quantity here of 0.0025. And so that's the amount of storage transactions that we had. And you can see it's measured in 10,000s. So it's 0.0025 out of 10,000. And then we have the usage start and end time. And you see here that we're starting at midnight on the 31st, going all the way up to the 1st. Now you may look at that and say, wait a minute, why did that data come back as some data, really it's coming back for the 31st. That's not showing the data from the 1st. It's coming back from data from the 31st instead of the 1st. And the reason why I know that is because midnight on June the 1st is in the middle of the night. So it really is going back from the middle of the night on May the 31st all the way through the day of May the 31st into the evening and then up to midnight. Now, why is this showing up in a report where we said only give me the data from June 1st to June the 10th? Well, if you recall from the slides, remember that we have this concept of reported time and usage time. We're querying on the reported time. So we may be seeing on the reported time, we may be seeing our data coming back that it was reported after June the 1st, after June the 1st at midnight. Which that makes sense because reported information or usage information can come back a couple hours late. So in this case here, it came back a couple hours late and that data was actually handed off to the next day because we queried based on the reported date. And we're not getting the reported date back in our query, but you can tell that's what's going on. Now here we also have some info fields, some additional detail about this. So you see here, the region where this happened is in East US. It was a storage metered service that was going on. And then the project is the name of the resource inside of Azure. So in this case here, it's Portal VHDs. So you can tell that's probably something to do with a virtual hard disk for a Azure virtual machine. Let's see if I just kind of pick one at random here, if we can get another data type before we talk about the response here. Here we go, here's one. So we'll talk about this more in the slides, but I want you to take note of the fact that info fields came back as null. But we have a new field here called instance data. And if you look at instance data, that looks like another JSON object that's coming back. But notice that Fiddler is not giving us that data back as a real JSON object. It's really writing it out as a string. Why is that? Well, it's because the data type of instance data is a string and it's really just encoded JSON. So you have to take that string and convert it to JSON. I'll talk more about that when we get into the detail of the handling of this. So this was just a quick little overview of what the response looks like. Let's look at all the different fields and understand some of this stuff a little bit more by jumping back to the slides before we look at this in more detail. All right, let's look at the resource usage REST API response details. Now, even with these filters that you put in the requests, responses can be quite big. The way you're going to control the size of the response is by controlling the date and time that you're actually referencing. The collection of the resource records are going to come back with two different sections. There's going to be metadata about the details on the resource record, and then there's also going to be properties, which will be details on the actual event record. Here's what the metadata section looks like. So here you can see I'm getting, there's a value property that comes back with an array of all the different events that come back. So each one of the different resource consumption events or records is going to be listed inside this value collection. So each object has some metadata properties around it. You'll see an ID that's listed, which is the unique record for the unique ID for this record or for this record that's coming back. And then you're going to see the name coming back for this response as well. And you can see here, this one's coming back as daily brsdf underscore and then a timestamp. The type gives us just the data type that we're going to be pulling back. And then the properties is going to be a big collection of properties for the specific usage event. Now let's take a look at what these properties look like. Now I'm going to ignore the last two fields because we're going to look at those in a little more detail in just a minute. So for the properties, we have the subscription ID that this resource event is tied to, as well as the start time and the end time for this resource event. The meter ID is what's going to be used to track this actual resource usage to a specific billing code or billing meter that you can get from the rate card API that we talked about in another module. We have some duplicate information on meter name, meter category, subcategory, and unit. All of those things are going to match the same thing you see for the meter ID over in the rate card API. They're just provided here to make things a little bit easier. The quantity is going to be equal to the quantity of units that we consumed for the usage start range that is defined, or usage start and end time range that's defined inside this event. And then we get some additional details about this resource event, info fields or instance data. Now these fields may be present. They may be present and nulled out, but you will usually have data coming from data included in at least in one of them. You won't have data in both of them, but you'll have data in one of them. And this is the part of the API that goes from V1 to V2 that's in preview. The info fields one is the older way of getting data back. And that's really getting data back from services that are not reporting their billing data back in the ARM style format. The newer style is instance data. So Microsoft is working with all the different Azure service providers. Like a service provider is somebody like Azure Web Apps or Compute for virtual machines or storage. They're working with them, those teams internally, to get them to shift over to instance data instead of using info fields. So let's look at the info fields. Let's look at what these different data is that's coming back. Info fields only contain a subset of the data that instance data provides. Info fields are also named key value pairs of data. The difference is that instance data is a string that comes back, but it's actually a JSON string. So you have to do a little bit of massaging of this data when you want to parse it. Microsoft, as I said, is transitioning from info fields over to instance data. Only one is provided within each resource record. Info fields are commonly referred to as V1, where instance data is commonly referred to as V2. Now, when possible, you should rely on instance data over info fields. So what does info fields look like? Well, here's what's one of the responses is that you're going to get back. And in this case here, what I've done is I have a virtual machine that's running up in my Azure subscription, and that virtual machine naturally has a virtual hard disk associated with it. That hard disk is stored in Azure Blob Storage. So this is the resource usage record for the storage of that hard disk. Here we can see that the meter region is set to West US. So it means that this item is actually stored over in the West US data center, and the meter service is called storage. The project is the name of the resource inside of Azure. So the name of my resource is Windows Dev VM SD and then some string after it, some long string that it had created. Let's look at how this is different from the instance data. So as you can see here, instance data looks a little bit different. Now first, info fields comes back as empty. But the instance data is actually a string that comes back. But if you look at that string, you can see that it's actually an encoded JSON string inside of it. So you would want to pull this string out, and you're going to want to convert it to a JSON and then be able to parse that JSON. So here you can see the data that comes back is of a type called Microsoft.resources. And this contains a bunch of stuff. There's a resource URI, which is the full unique ID down to this particular resource. So in this case here, you can see that I'm referencing a subscription with a particular ID. It's inside of a resource group called MOINAKRG. And then inside of that is looking at the provider for storage and a storage account with the name of MOINAK storage. This is stored in the West US data center. And then I have a collection of tags. Now this may be filled in, this may be empty, but these are the ARM tags or the tags on the resource inside of Azure. So here I have the department is set to HR. And so it's a tag named department and the value of that tag is HR. Now that we've seen what the resource looks like, let's go ahead and look at what the actual .NET application and how it handles this resource, the resource usage consumption data response that comes back and how we can parse it out and render it out on the page. Okay, now that we have an understanding of what the different fields are, let's look at this in a little more detail. So we saw what the actual REST response looked like, what the JSON looked like in our response for usage data. Let's go back to Visual Studio and let's see how we handle this. Now, if you recall, when we were talking about the request, we talked about how we built up the request right here. This was happening inside of our Azure usage repository. We built up our request. You can see they're going to the usage aggregates endpoint. And we're going to issue that request. So I'm going to send the request asynchronously, getting the response back. And then I'm going to go convert the response into a string. It's a JSON string. Now, similar to how I use the rate card API, what I did is I created this object here called Azure Usage HTTP Response. And what I did with this is I actually took the JSON that was coming back that I ran a test the very first time, copied all the JSON from Fiddler, and then I came over here into Visual Studio and I created a new class, and then I just did paste as special, paste JSON as classes. And what that gave me was a strongly typed object that I renamed to Azure Usage HTTP Response. So what that does is that now that response, that's actually giving me a real object. And so I'm using this JSON convert function object and is deserialized object method that's part of the JSON.NET library to take that JSON string and deserialize it into a real object. And let's take a look at what this does. This is super helpful. So here, it went through and it gave me this Azure Usage HTTP response. Now, if you recall from Fiddler, so let's switch back over to Fiddler real quick. If you recall, we have all these different line items that come back, but we can see they're all under this value property that comes back. And if I look at each one of these, you'll see there's like an ID, a name, and a type. But if I come back even further, there's some additional values that all come in right in here, right? And they all have these lowercase things here. That's how standard JSON comes back. I mean, it's the standard style of doing it where everything is camel case and not Pascal case. Well, going back to Visual Studio, you see here that what it had done is it actually made the property name equal to value. But I'm going and decorating this to say, I really want it to be called line items, but I'm gonna tell JSON.NET that when you work with the actual JSON string that comes back, the property name is actually value. You can see the same here. I've done this for all the properties, like properties is equal to properties and type is equal to type. But I want to, in standard.NET, I want to use Pascal case for my properties and not camel case like we do in JavaScript. You can see I did a lot of that stuff. Now, some things I had to handle here. There's a couple things I had to go in and I had to doctor up a bit. For example, like the instance raw data. The instance data that comes back, this is instance data, this is a string that comes back. It's really JSON, but it's a string. And so what I did is I said, you know, this instance data that comes back, it's going to come back as a string and not an object. So it's going to require a little bit of extra work once we get it back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new property called instance data raw, and I'm going to take what we get back from the response and the instance data field and shove it in there and also tell JSON.NET that, hey, we might not get anything. So if you don't get anything, then just ignore this field. Don't try and pull data out because it'll throw an exception. And then I'm going to create another property here called instance data. That's of type instance data, which I'll look at in a minute. And you see here that I've told JSON.NET to ignore this property, act like it's not even there. So let's scroll down to that one. Okay, here's my instance data. My instance data has a property on it called Microsoft Resources, or it really comes back as Microsoft.resources, as you saw in the slides. That resources is going to have a few properties, things like a resource URI, a location, and then we have some other properties here, like we have tags and we have additional info. And the additional info is that's kind of like it's a dictionary. It's just a bunch of a grab bag of a bunch of different attributes on the particular resource that actually incurred the usage information. So I'm going to make that guy just an actual dictionary, but I need to, again, he's really just a JSON string that's stored. It comes back as a string. So I have to do some post-processing on that one as well. Same thing for tags. All right. So once I get all this stuff back, let's go back to our repository. And so we have our value right here. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go do this post-processing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run through this. I'm going to say, if I got something back, then I'm going to run through each line item of the response and I'm going to check to see if I got instance data back. Because if I did, I need to do post-processing. So I have a function here called post-process instance data, and I pass in that string, and I'm going to set the value that comes back equal to the instance data, not the raw part that you see here, but the instance data. Now scrolling down a little bit further, let's look at how this works. So what this guy's going to do is he's going to first go in and he's going to replace all of the backslashes and he's going to take them out, because right now we have a JSON string that has an extra slash in front of every single double quote so that it's not treated as a closing quote for the string. Okay, so we're going to get rid of all of those. And then that's what I'm then going to go deserialize that into my instance data object, with which, if you recall, this instance data object, this is the one that comes from our the class we were looking at just a minute ago. And remember, this is going to be Microsoft Resources. And again, this guy is going to have a dynamic field. So specifically, we're just going to focus on the instance the additional info piece. Okay. So now I've got that piece right there. So let's just, we have to deal with the tags and we'll deal with that in a minute. But let's look at the instance detail. So what this does is it says, if we got additional information back, then I want you to call another method that I've written called convert dynamic JSON to a dictionary. And I'm going to pass in the additional info raw object, but I'm going to cast it as a J object, which is coming from JSON.net. It's kind of like a dynamic object. What that's going to allow me to do is to go through each one of these different things for each property that we have inside this dynamic JSON. I'm going to create a dictionary and I'm going to add a value to it equal to the key and then the value of whatever that key is. And when I'm done with it, I'm going to return that back, which is going to be added to the additional info. Okay. Ignore the fact that I have swallowing any exceptions. Remember, this is a little demo. This isn't a production quality code here. All right. So now at this point, I've parsed all the data here. So we've got our instance data, and I'm now going to hand that back to the requester. That requester was our usage controller. So here's our controller right here where we got all of our usage data. I'm then going to go create my view model, and I'm going to go initialize a bunch of stuff. And the stuff I'm going to initialize here for like the subscription and the report ID and the name and the type and the reported start date and type, the granular and show details. These are all things that I'm going to use at the top of the page. If you remember from my first demo that we did in this module, where it was showing you on the top left some metadata about the request. And on the top right, it was showing us some controls for doing filters. I'm then going to loop through all the line items and all the aggregate stuff. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add them to this usage details collection, because each line item, the collection of line items, I want to run through each one of those, all those different line items, and I want to add them to this usage details collection that I'm going to add to our view model. Okay, and I'm going to sort that by the meter category and then the subcategory and then the meter name and then finally the usage start time. So I can see things in a chronological order based on the meter itself. And then I'm going to hand that back to the view model. Now, this isn't an ASP.NET MVC course, so we're not going to spend I'm not going to spend any time here going through the actual view and how I wrote it out. But you see here, it really is just a collection of properties with some collections that are in that view model, and I just want to go through the view and write all those things out. You can take a look at the view on your own time if you like by coming over here to the usage piece and looking at how we did that right here in the index.cshtml. So with that, we got a pretty good view here of how we actually do handle the response for the usage API. In this module, we started by looking at an overview of the Azure Billing REST API, but we specifically spent time on the Resource Usage API. We talked about the difference in times between reported date time and the usage date time in the Resource Usage API. We also talked about some enabling scenarios and what we can do inside of our custom applications that this API enables us. And then we looked at the details for the Resource Usage REST API for the request and the response. I hope you enjoyed this module and learned something. I also recommend that you take a look at the ARM module in this course and the rate card module in this course, as they're both closely related to this module.